Our epistle reading this morning is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And again, Paul's writing this from prison to the church at Philippi and also to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to continue our series in Philippians and think about living with an attitude of gratitude. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard this story about a nun who is out doing rounds visiting patients at their homes. And as she was out doing rounds, she ran out of gas in her car. And so as luck would have it, there's a gas station not too far down the street. So she decided to walk down there and get some gas and bring it back to her vehicle. And she walked down to the gas station, and the attendant said he had just loaned out his last gas can and she'd have to wait for that to be returned. Well, she was in a hurry to see her patient, so she decided she'd walk back to her car to see if there's anything she'd have in there to put gas in. And so she did exactly that, and she looked all through the car and she couldn't find anything except for a bedpan. So she decided to use the bedpan, so she walked down to the gas station. She filled this bedpan up with gas and she walked back to her car, and as she was pouring the gas from that bedpan into the car, there was a couple gentlemen across the street in the alley, and they looked over and they said, "Now that is faith. If that car starts, we're going to church next Sunday." Well, you know, we do meet with some adversity and difficulty in life, and the question is, how do we handle that? And the question also is, what is God doing in our hearts and lives as we go through those things? And this morning, we're going to think about having an attitude of gratitude. And for a moment, though, before we do that, I wanted to just think for a moment and recap the ground that we've covered in Philippians. And remember, we started out in the first week with a work in progress. And we use Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and Paul writes this, "Being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." In other words, God is working a work in our hearts and lives and sort of shaping us as a work of art. And then we talked about standing firm in the faith despite adversity and challenges. And then we talked about imitating Christ's humility and then shining like stars as we follow Christ in this pathway of servant leadership. And Paul lifted up two examples of heroes of faith, of probably people we don't normally think about as heroes, but because of their faithfulness and gentleness, they really were heroes. And then we talked about growing in Christ through all these things. And then last week we talked about pressing on through adversity and challenges. And this week, thinking about an attitude of gratitude. And as we look at this scripture verse this morning, you know, this is one of the scripture verses that I really enjoy, and last week's and this week two that have really seen me through a lot of adversity and difficulty, and I challenge you to really look at that and maybe even highlight it in your Bible. And when you're facing some adversity and difficulty, it can really give some strength to us. The first thing in this attitude of gratitude is, I think, is to cultivate gratitude in our hearts and lives. You know, all of us find times when it's easy to give thanks and be thankful in our lives, but there's sometimes in adversity and difficulty where we really have to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness and thanksgiving. And the thought is, of course, this is harvest season. I know we have a number of farmers here, but you're in Indiana, you kind of know about it. But what you plant, you reap. What you sow, you reap. And so the question for us as we're going through times of adversity and difficulty is, are we planting seeds of joy and of gratitude? And I think Paul would challenge us to do exactly that. In fact, Paul, in this short book, really four chapters, uses joy and rejoicing more than any other book in the Bible. And so he starts out this passage with exactly that. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always," not just sometimes, but always. He says, "I will say it again, rejoice." And that tense of that word is really to continue rejoicing. Now, Paul himself is in prison, and he's about to give a testimony before the Roman emperor, which will probably, you know, lead to his execution. But despite that, Paul says, you know, there's time to rejoice, and he's challenging a group of people, a church in Philippi, that themselves are going through some adversity and difficulty and challenges, and some of them would probably lose their lives. So Paul challenges us to rejoice, but he goes on to sort of give the key to that. He said, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And I think that's the comforting piece in all that. The Lord is near. And as we go through adversity and difficulties and challenges in life, sometimes even some pain, we can know that the Lord is with us and the Lord is near. And Christ has gone through everything we could ever imagine. And his presence of comfort and peace is there with us. And he goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying, listen, don't be anxious. But he knows there are things to be anxious about. But he says, really, don't be anxious. Put that aside. And then to, in everything, no matter what, valley or mountain, whatever we face, in everything, give prayer and petition or supplication. So the first thing is prayer. And that kind of prayer that he's referring to is really not so much the kind of request prayer that we're thinking about, but really a listening, meditative kind of prayer. And sometimes we, as we're going through adversity and difficulty, particularly sort of go to God with a list of requests that we have, and those are legitimate. God wants us to do that. But Paul's also saying there's a time to listen to God. There's a time to let God's strength steep into our hearts and lives, and that's part of prayer, that kind of listening and strengthening prayer. And then he goes on to say, and petitions are supplications, so our requests, and God really wants to hear those. So Paul says, bring those to God. And then he says, with thanksgiving. Now, literally, in the Greek, that really means Eucharista. And that's the word that refers to communion, that we use the Holy Eucharist or Holy Communion. So Paul's really saying there's a thanksgiving, there's a communion that's a part of that. And so God is present with us, even in our prayers and our requests, and to remind ourselves of that in our hearts and lives today. So the first thing is to really sow seeds of gratitude and joy in our hearts and lives. And the second thing is to set your mind. Now, when we think about attitude, a lot of times we think about people, but the fact of the matter is that attitude is also used in aeronautics and aviation. And so when you think about the attitude of a spacecraft, it's the attitude of a spacecraft, particularly as it enters the Earth's atmosphere. Now, if you're like me, I grew up in the NASA era where we had space capsules, and it was very critical as that space capsule came back into the Earth's atmosphere that the heat shield, the back part of the space capsule would meet the Earth's atmosphere. There's so much resistance, created tremendous heat, and if it wasn't exactly right, that capsule could burn up. And so that's called the attitude of the space capsule. And even today, of course, with the space shuttles, their attitude is critical. And even in flight today, they talk about the attitude of a plane, particularly as it meets resistance and turbulence. And so in our hearts and lives, what's our attitude? Is our attitude right? And if our attitude is right as we meet resistance and turbulence, adversity and difficulty in life, that's a critical thing to whether we're going to go up and or whether we're going to go down, so to speak. But Paul says we need this right attitude. And what is that? What's an attitude of gratitude? And he goes on to talk about this rejoicing. And he says we can have this peace that transcends all understanding. If you're like me, sometimes I've been in a hospital room or with some folks even who've lost a loved one. And sometimes as we pray, even though there's a lot of difficulty there, you can sort of feel the Lord's peace that really transcends or passes all understanding. It's if we really don't understand what's going on, but we know that God's presence is there and God's power is there and that God will see us through and all those things. And we think of the Hebrew term shalom, and shalom really means peace in body, mind, and spirit, and God's strength is there. So Paul says you can have this peace even amid prison and persecution that passes or transcends all understanding. And it reminds me of the illustration of embroidery. I don't know if we have a lot of embroidery people out there, but you look at the one side and there's a beautiful pattern, but if you look underneath that, you see all these ties and knots and things like that, and it doesn't really form a pattern. And Corrie ten Boom, who was a person who endured great persecution, she was imprisoned by the Nazis, and most of her family were killed. And she went on after that to have a great life of preaching forgiveness and peace and understanding. But she said this using that illustration. She said, picture a piece of embroidery between you and God, with the right side up towards God, the side with the pattern. Man sees the loose frayed ends, but God sees the pattern. Many times we think of our heart and life today, I think, you know, we see the frayed ends, but God sees the pattern that it makes in all of life. Paul said this in Colossians 3:2. He said, set your minds and keep them set on that which is above, the higher things, not on the things of earth. We have to live in this earth and face some adversity and difficulty, but if we set our attitudes right and set our minds and hearts on Christ, then things will go better in our hearts and life. We'll see God's peace and God's power in our life. And Paul even gives us a little litany to help us with that. And most of us we think about the things that are wrong in our life, and it takes some conscious effort to sort of fix our attitude. And Paul goes through this and he says, "Finally, sisters and brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble," that literally is seminos or seminary or holy and inspiring, "whatever is reverent or honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or lovable, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." And sometimes in my own life, when I've gone through some difficulties and really couldn't understand what I was going through, I sort of go through that litany and just pause at each word and think about, okay, it's easy to think about the things that are wrong, but you know, what is true in my life, and what is true in the lives of those around me, or what is noble in those I see around me, or what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's excellent, what's praiseworthy? And there's always good things around us. Matthew Henry was a person who lived in the 19th century, and he was once mugged, and this is what he wrote in his diary. He said, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed rather than I who robbed." You know, that's a tremendous discipline to say, okay, I've been robbed, but here's some things to be thankful for. And I think our lives, if we have that kind of attitude that Paul is challenging us to, we can do that very same thing. And the final thing is to trust God. Whatever we're going through in life, to just trust God and to trust His strength and power. And Paul said this, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul says that not in sort of a resort area or comfort of a suburban home. He said it in a prison in Rome, waiting to give his testimony before the emperor, who would eventually execute him. He'd give his life for the faith. And even though he knew that was probably about to happen, he was able to take that moment and to trust God that God was working through all that. And even as he spent time in prison, he wrote these letters of encouragement, really half the New Testament, that thousands of years later we can find encouragement in and find God's peace and God's power. So sometimes God is working even amidst difficulty. Thomas Edison is one of my heroes in life, and the Life magazine voted him the man of the century for the 20th century, and he invented 1,093 things. He had the world record in patents, and during his later life, he was a very successful business person as well. He had a 14-building complex in West Orange, New Jersey, and in his late 60s, in December 1914, that complex caught on fire, and there was more than $2 million worth of damage. And as that blaze was burning, Edison called to his children and said, "Kids, go get your mother. You'll never see another fire like this one." He went on to say this as he watched it burn. He said, "I'm 67 years old, but not too old to make a fresh start. I've been through a lot of things like this." And the next day, he had his son Charles next to him as they went through the rubble. And he turned to his son. He said, "Charles, there's a great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." What an incredible attitude. And it's hard to have that kind of an attitude. But even Edison trusted that even God's plan and purpose in this disaster would even though it was hard to overcome, that he'd have a fresh start. And Edison went on to continue to invent things and to make new patents and to impact the world in a great way. Paul really had the same example. This is what Paul said. He said, "I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." What a great attitude in life. And you and I will, in fact, face difficulty and darkness in our life, but we can trust God that God is there with us. God has a plan and purpose, and God's peace can be there and God's strength as we go through that. Corrie ten Boom, who I referred to earlier, said this. She said, "When the train goes through a tunnel and the world gets dark, do you jump out? Of course not. You just sit there and trust the engineer to see you through." And she knew what it was like to face darkness in life. And you and I really face some tunnels of darkness too, but we can trust God as the engineer of life, that God will see us through to the opening of light. In Proverbs 3:5, it says this, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We think about that today, to live with an attitude of gratitude and the power that can have and God's presence in our hearts and lives. And so the secret really is to cultivate gratitude, to have our mind set and our heart set on things that are above, and finally to trust God in all things. I'd like to close with this true story. There was an attorney in Chicago in the late 1800s by the name of Horatio Spafford, and he was quite prosperous. In 1870, he and his wife lost their only son to scarlet fever. They were terribly devastated by that, and to make things worse, shortly thereafter, they had a great deal of real estate investment in Chicago, and the Great Chicago Fire took place, and he lost all those investments. And so he decided that he and his wife and family needed a break, and so they wanted to go to England. And so he was busy with business, but he had his wife and his four daughters got on a ship by the name of the Villa de Havre and had them sail to England, and he was going to meet them shortly. Unfortunately, that ship hit an iron sailing vessel and sunk, with 224 people losing their lives. Among those were his four daughters, and he anxiously waited news till his wife reached England, and when she was able to, she telegraphed back two words only: saved alone. He was heartbroken knowing that he had lost his four daughters, and so he got on the next ship to sail towards England, and as he came over the spot where that ship had gone down with his four daughters, the captain of the ship told him that he would pause briefly over that spot, and so as he did, he prayed, and even amid all that sorrow, he said he felt a tremendous peace, and he wrote these words that are part of the hymn that we sing so often: "When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." He knew that kind of peace that transcends all understanding, that God was at work even in stormy, troubled waters, and you and I can too. I think that's the same thing that Jesus echoed in his words from Matthew, and so I'd like to close with these words from Jesus. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." There's tremendous power in having an attitude of gratitude, not sort of turning a blind eye to the troubles and difficulties and adversity that we face, but finding a deep inner strength by planting seeds of joy and gratitude in our hearts and lives, and knowing that God's peace and power will grow from that, and setting our hearts and lives on things above, and finally trusting God in all these things. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think about your power this day, sometimes we get so focused on the difficulties and the adversity and challenges of life, but we know that you're there, present with us through all these things in life. Help us to lean into your strength and power and to have our hearts set on those things that are above, knowing that you have a plan and purpose in all of life and you have the power and the peace to see us through. Help us to find our strength in you and to offer that strength to others as much as we can, through your power and to your glory. Amen.
Worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name.